I want to join with Brother Bell in welcoming everyone here this morning. We're certainly grateful that you have chosen to come our way. If you are visiting with us, consider yourself an honored guest. And we look forward to having folks come and visit with us regularly. It's one of the benefits of living so close to the interstate. Or at least having a building close to the interstate. We show up pretty easily when folks start searching. We're glad to have you with us. Of course, not just because of the camaraderie and fellowship together, but because we are gathered together to worship and honor God. And we want to set our minds upon that and focus on that. And we will get to that in just a moment in looking at our lesson. I think it's going to be something that will be helpful to us in our everyday life. And I found some parts of those songs we were singing that I hope you connect with some of the things we're talking about in our lesson this morning. I do want to mention one more thing in regard to the meeting. Well, two things. First, don't forget it. And there is a meal sign-up sheet on the bulletin board now if you're interested in that. I know it's 4 weeks away, but I put it up 2 weeks late last meeting and was softly reprimanded. So it's up there earlier this time. Take notice of that and certainly be inviting others to come and be with us during that time. I know that Brother Redmond is going to be prepared for his part, and we need to be prepared for our part. I was looking at some things online. I don't remember if I read it in an article, saw it in a video that someone had posted or what, but the statement was made that peace is necessary in order for us to really have joy, or something to that effect. A joy is something that all of us want to have. We want to rejoice. Maybe we think of it as I want to be happy. But it's that idea of we want to enjoy life. We want to be happy. We want to experience things that bring us positive feelings rather than negative feelings. And we search for that constantly in our lives. Most everyone that I know wants to live a happy, healthy life. And there are a lot of paths to what I'm going to term, as we begin, temporary joy. We can find a quick fix for joy in a lot of different things. Shopping on Amazon. Grandbabies. Working at our favorite hobby. Some of us can find a fix for joy by just being alone and away from everybody else in the world so that nobody's bothering us. And we're not bothering anybody else either. There are so many ways that we can find to satisfy that temporary joy. And certainly we recognize that in the world there are all kinds of sinful things that folks can get involved in. I mean, that's trying to get that quick fix on joy is why so many marriages fail, because of cheating spouses. Why parents fail their children. Why children fail their parents. We can find those quick fixes, but in order to find something that's going to last, we're going to have to look somewhere besides the physical world. Because those fleeting bits and pieces of temporary joy that we may find are ultimately harmful to us experiencing real, lasting joy. In order to have real lasting joy, we need to first find peace. And there's only one place that we're going to find the kind of peace that will provide us with that lasting joy. And the text that Brother Bill read for us this morning talks about that. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. The peace that we can attain by having a relationship with God that is right and pleasing in His sight is a peace that allows us to rejoice not just when things are going well, but even to rejoice when things are going bad. We can exalt even in our tribulations because we know that bearing up through those tribulations will allow us to enter into and be with God for all eternity. We know God is on our side. So if we need this kind of peace that comes from having a relationship with God, we want to spend some time this morning talking about what it takes to have that peace that can lead us to that joy, or actually that will bring us that kind of joy. And you're not going to like this one, but to start with, we've got to submit. If we want to have the peace that comes from God through Christ, we have to submit. That's not a term we like to hear. We don't like the idea, and we've talked about this before when I spent a lot of time on it because we've talked about it many times. But we don't like the idea that somebody else is the one that tells me what I'm supposed to do. Husbands, when your wife tells you to take out the trash, you want to take out the trash when you're ready to take out the trash. Not the exact moment she says it. I use that example, it's familiar to me. We don't like to have other people telling us what to do. That's why so many people are dissatisfied with their jobs. They want to be in charge of the job. Do it their way. If we want the peace that comes from God through Christ, we have to do things God's way. Because in order to have this peace that we're looking for, that will provide us with a joyful life, we have to be in Christ. Not we have to know Christ. Not we have to have heard of Christ. We have to be in Christ. Jesus in John 16 and verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." The world is filled with tribulation and trouble. In Christ we have peace, just like we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 in our text for the lesson this morning. When Paul was nearing the close of that letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We can be filled with joy and peace when we give ourselves to Christ. When we become a part of Him. When we, like Paul told the Ephesian brethren, let Christ be our head because He is head over all things. And head over the church. When we let Christ be the guiding factor in our lives. Multiple times in the epistles of the Apostle Paul, we find him talking about this idea of the body and us being in subjection to the head. We need to have that kind of relationship with Christ. He is our head. He is the controlling factor because we are in Him. If we want this peace, that's going to allow us to have joy in life. Those who love the Word of God are those who are going to have peace. The psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 165, "Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble." Those who love your law have great peace. Peter put it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. He said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And if you read through 2 Peter, you find when you get down to the end of 2 Peter, he again wants us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the will of God. He's talking about the Word. When we know the Word of God, as we've studied in the book of John, Jesus is the Word. If we want this peace, that's going to allow us to have true joy in life. Going to allow us to rejoice even in our sufferings. We need to love the Word. We need to know the Word of God. We need to submit ourselves to Christ because we need to be obedient believers if we're going to receive the peace that comes from a relationship with God. The wise man in Proverbs 16 and verse 7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Certainly we recognize from other studies of the pages of Scripture that God is pleased with those who do His will. If nothing else, our studies of the nation of Israel and their history and our Sunday afternoon Bible class would teach us that. Because multiple times in those studies, from Judges all the way through to the end of the Chronicles, on into the prophets even in the time of captivity, we find God saying, I am not pleased because you've turned away from my word. And he is pleased when they come back to his word. Come back and serve me. Build my temple. Offer the sacrifices. Honor me as you ought to. Live righteous and love your fellow man. All of these sort of things we see in those examples of the nation of Israel. And God says, these are the things which I'm pleased with. What does God desire? That we humble ourselves and conduct ourselves in a just and righteous manner. That pleases God. So obedient believers can receive peace. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul says, glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What God gives us when we do good is peace. Those who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. If we want to have a joyful life, if we want to go through this life feeling good, happiness, enjoyment, positive, upbeat attitudes, we need the peace that only comes from God. And it only belongs to those who are His, because I have submitted myself to His will. I have decided I will do whatever God asks me to do. And I will leave off anything that God says don't do. I can have peace. Our peace, certainly it comes from God, but I'm convinced that the peace that we have, this kind of peace, this I want to use a satisfaction with our situation, is because we're forgiven. You cannot enjoy peace in this life unless you have been forgiven. Look at the psalmist in Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. That word blessed there is the idea of happiness. In fact, we could read, happy is the man. I think there are some of the versions that do read that way. Happy is the man We have joy when our transgressions are forgiven, when our sins are covered. When God does not hold us accountable for our sin because we have sought and received forgiveness. The psalmist continues, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For night and day your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. The psalmist says, when I was holding on to my sin, I was troubled. I was weighted down. I was hindered because of the weight of guilt that was upon me. But when I came to you and confessed my sins, God, and you forgave me of my sins, I became blessed because I could be at peace. Without the turmoil and guilt of sin, we can find peace. Now, I'm well aware there's a lot of people in the world who don't think of the things they're doing as sin. They don't bother them for the most part, because they don't understand. They don't know the peace that they can have by being forgiven of sin. They don't know the comfort and joy and protection that they can receive from God because they have put their life into His hands. They're ignorant of those things. I know we're not supposed to call anybody ignorant anymore, right? They don't know these things. And I might add, I don't think I'm preaching to a crowd of folks that are in that condition, by the way. So, when I talk about having guilt for sin, we understand that. That's what made us change our ways, isn't it? That's why we sought after God. We learned about sin, and it weighed upon us, and we were guilty with it. And when we commit sin, even now as Christians, if we turn away from the will of God in some manner or another, there's a guilt that weighs down upon us until we get it corrected. And I pray that if you ever get to the point that sin does not cause you guilt, that something will happen to turn that guilt back on. Because if we ever get to the point that sin does not cause us guilt, we're in a sorry state. We're lost and without hope. Sin is a weight of turmoil and guilt. And with forgiveness, that can be gone. One of the songs we were singing was talking about the Lord is our rock, or God is our rock. And while we were singing that, I thought, you know, we like to have stability in our house. That's pretty much why most of us would not build our house on the side of a cliff or on top of a fault line if we knew about it. Because we pretty much want our house to stay where it's at all the time. And that's kind of the idea that's being put forth with that song. And that's the kind of idea we need to understand that we have. That's what we have when we give ourselves to God and we put ourselves in His care. We have a stability to our life. We can confidently say things will continue as they ought as long as I'm with God. I mean, that's what the whole parable of the wise and foolish builders is about. When we build on the rock, and we can have peace. If my house was built on the edge of a fault line, I'm not sure that I'd be able to rest well when I go to bed at night. Especially if I just felt one of them there tremors that pop up every now and then. When I went to bed for the next week or so, I'd always be wondering, well, is this going to be the one that's going to get big enough and mess with me? But when I've got a house that's built on solid ground, I'm at peace. Because I don't have to worry about whether it's still going to be where it was when I went to bed. Maybe you have other examples that help you understand that idea of peace rather than turmoil. But that's one of the things that comes to mind when I think about this. And I think about God as a rock, a steady, steadfast place. And when we have that kind of peace, we can rejoice no matter what happens to us. We see that in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. When the saints or the Jews heard the gospel from the mouth of Peter and the rest of the apostles on that day of Pentecost and said, "What shall we do?" They received the answer, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." And when they took action upon that, some of them receiving a little more urging from the apostle Peter in particular about how they needed to leave the crooked generation they were in and become a part of the body of Christ. When they obeyed the gospel and became members of the body of Christ, there was a weight lifted off of them. And they worked together to help one another. And they lived their life with joy and peace. And on down in Acts chapter 5, after the apostles, in particular Peter and John, had been in prison, been brought before the Sanhedrin council, we read in verse 41, they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for His name. Isn't that exactly what our text was talking about in Romans chapter 5 when Paul wrote to those brethren and said, if you have the peace that comes from God through Christ, you can exalt in your tribulations. They were exalting in their tribulations. Rejoicing. Not rejoicing that they were persecuted, but rejoicing that they were counted worthy to endure persecution. You see, they weren't rejoicing in what had happened. They were rejoicing in the relationship they had with God that meant what had happened didn't matter in the long term. And I think maybe that's a point about peace and joy that we forget. We think in order to have joy in our life, everything has to be going our way. That's not what Scripture tells us. We can have joy in our life because we know we have been forgiven. And no matter what man might do to me, I'm still right in the sight of God. And when all is said and done, I will be with Him for eternity. Things used to go south every now and then when I was growing up. Every now and then, Dad, don't worry, it'll all come out and wash. After I got up a little older, I was beginning to understand. Sometimes I'd reply about, yeah, but it's going to be a big wash day. But it doesn't matter how big the day is at the end. In the end of things, if I am forgiven, because I've been obedient to the will of God, what men do to me here upon this earth doesn't matter. Because I get to be with God for eternity. That's where our joy is. We have peace in this life because of our relationship with God and Christ. Because we've submitted ourselves to Him and we've sought forgiveness. We're forgiven of our sins and we can have peace while we walk through this life no matter what happens to us because we know where we're going. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, when they came up out of the water in verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 34, the Philippian jailer, he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. That was after he was buried in baptism, just like the Ethiopian eunuch. Why did he rejoice? Because he was free from sin. Sometimes when I read that story, I kind of think along those lines, and I wonder what happened to that jailer when the officials of the city, you know, sent and told Paul, get out quietly, and Paul said, no, we're not. I wonder if that jailer had any problems with the officials of the city later on. If he did, I don't think it bothered him very much, because he was at peace with God, which allowed him to rejoice in life no matter what happened to him. We have peace with God because we are obedient. This gets back a little bit to one of the things we were talking about under the idea of submission, but taking obedient action, directing our lives by the Spirit, brings us joy because of the peace that it provides. Again, in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Where is my mind set? Is it set on the things of this world? If that's the case, I'm only going to find temporary joy. Is my mind set on the things of the Spirit, the things of God? If my mind is set on the things of God so that I conduct myself in a religious, righteous way, I have peace. Because I'm obedient to the will of God. I'm conducting myself in obedient action. The righteous is delivered from trouble, Proverbs tells us. And later in chapter 12 and verse 13, the righteous will escape from trouble. The evil is ensnared by his transgressions. When Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren, and there's a lot in the Philippian letter that talks about rejoicing, joy. And we almost always comment on the fact that Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter, by the way. But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A couple of things there. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. How does that happen? Well, it happens by how we conduct ourselves. How we act in the checkout line at Walmart. How we act on the interstate when the trucks are filling up the lanes. How we act when our neighbor says something about what our yard looks like. Or that we've got too far into their yard. How we act when somebody bothers us at school or at work. How do I conduct myself? My gentle spirit needs to be known to all. That attitude of humility and submission to God, thereby striving to do things in a righteous and upright way. Humble. And again, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. What everything? All of our actions. Everything we engage in. We use prayer and supplication and thanksgiving to talk to God so that we don't have to be concerned about those things. We can be at peace even when the tornado warning signs go off, sounds go off. We can be at peace. Because we have the peace of God. That means nothing in this world can take us away from Him. When our minds are set on spiritual things, it produces spiritual attitudes that bring us peace rather than strife and struggle. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul told the Galatian brethren, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I don't know that there's a hierarchy of those terms that he lists there, but it's always interesting to me that he started with love, joy, and peace. If we've got love, joy, and peace, those other things just kind of fall in place. You're a whole lot kinder when things are going well for you, right? If everything's falling apart, we're a little bit edgy. Concern. But if we have peace because we belong to God and He's forgiven us, it's a lot easier to be patient. It's a lot easier to be faithful because we know God is faithful. Because we have that peace that comes from that relationship with Him. John tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And that idea of abiding is let it live and work in you. What did you hear from the beginning? The Word of Truth. The message of Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of God. And He walked upon the face of this earth and lived a perfect life and was sacrificed on the cross to pay the price for my sins and for yours. That's what needs to abide within us. And the understanding that if God has done that for me already, what do you think God will do for me if I just give myself wholly over to Him and submit to His will altogether? Because remember, in our text, He died while we were still unworthy. He did that while I didn't deserve it. And I still don't deserve it. But if He would do that for me then, what's He going to do in my life now that I've submitted myself to His will? You see, we can have peace in God. In fact, our peace is in God. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is a very present help in trouble. Kind of paraphrasing Psalm 46, 1 and 2 there. Because of this, because God is our refuge, our strength, and our help in trouble, we will not fear though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. If God is my strength, my refuge, my help, I can go to sleep in that house that's sitting on the fault line and not worry about whether it falls in. Because God's got me. If I am in God. The psalmist says in Psalm 54 and verse 7, He has delivered me from all trouble, and my eye has looked with satisfaction upon my enemies. In other words, I don't have to worry about my enemies because God has already delivered me. John told his readers in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, which is very similar to John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, I think it is. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. You know what's one of the big worries among human beings on earth today? What happens when I die? What happens when I die? There are entire, I want to say industries, and it is almost industries, that are focused specifically on that. What happens when I die? We've had multiple movies in recent years dealing with that idea. I died and came back. Here's what happened. I don't have to worry about that. I know what happens when I die. I go to meet my God. And as long as I am in Him, I know what will happen. He's already promised me. He's already told me exactly what will happen to me when I die. Or at least as much of it as I can understand. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. That's what happens when the child of God dies. And that gives us peace. That takes away worry. Takes away things that would suck our joy right out of life. And we can enjoy life. James tells us in James chapter 3 and verse 17, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. When we put our trust in God, live our lives according to His wisdom, we have peace and we know it will happen. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? I think some versions render that, what can man do to me? If I'm in the hand of the Father, what can man do to me? Paul told the Roman brethren, I don't have this on the screen, but Paul told the Roman brethren that there was nothing in this life that could take them away from Jesus. Jesus said, no one can snatch you from my hand because God's given you to me. If we belong to God through Jesus because we've been obedient to His will, we've submitted ourselves and we've received forgiveness of our sins, and we continue to live in accordance with His Word, we don't have to worry what men might do to us, because no matter what they do, we still are in the hand of God. What in the world would I have to worry about if I'm in the hand of God? Nothing. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. You want to enjoy life? You want to go through life happy? Then give yourself to the Lord. Read and study and understand the will of God and apply it to your life. If you've not confessed Jesus as your Savior, as the Son of God who died on the cross of Calvary and shed His innocent blood so that your sins could be forgiven, you need to do that. You need to confess Christ as your Savior, acknowledging Him as the Son of God. And then you need to submit to His will. And that will just like on the day of Pentecost, says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin. In the name of Jesus. If you're willing to do that, you can be saved. You can have peace on this earth. You can live life without worry, with joy. Oh, you'll still get bothered by a few things every now and then. But when you really stop and consider, you'll recognize they just don't amount to much of anything, because I've got God on my side. And I can last through that so I can be with Him for eternity. You can exalt in your tribulation. If you've taken those steps in the past, you are a part of the body of Christ. Are you still faithfully doing what God said do? Are you still obedient in your actions? Do you confess Christ with how you live your life? If not, correct that. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, because without forgiveness of sins, you cannot have peace. They will weigh upon your soul and upon your mind. And you need to come back to God and ask Him to forgive you so that you might be cleansed of those things. And He promises that if we will repent and come to Him and confess our sins, John tells us God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive, and He will. We can help you with making sure your life is right in the sight of God so you can have peace through Christ and enjoy life. Time and opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing for encouragement.